When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Boom, 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 boom.
Back on the shores of the UK.
Move a fucking owl up inside your headpiece, bitch.
The owl has flown back to his residence.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl, Wolf and Owl podcast, inside the place, inside the ride. I'm going to watch out the Wolf and Owl.
You look good, boy.
Nice. You think so?
Back to your, you know, just saying you're on the other side of the bed now, just chilled, just relaxed.
Well, it was Alex's birthday over the weekend.
Shout out my guy, Alex.
Yeah. He doesn't listen to this. they had a little like kind of, a little sleepover thing downstairs.
Nice.
And they wanted Lisa to sleep downstairs. Didn't ask for me to be.
How many guests? Downstairs. How many guests?
Well, they had a couple of mates, basically. Lisa slept downstairs and I had the bed to myself. I don't know why I'm taking so long to deliver this information.
I think it's probably a bit of shame in a way.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because.
What do I need to feel ashamed about?
That little Alex, when he was thinking who's going to defend him from, you know, whatever imaginary beasts or whatever that might attack him in the night.
Hold on one sec. Speaking of Alex, I'm doing a podcast. Do you want to say hello to Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Yo, Al. Happy birthday, my guy.
He said happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you need?
Good man.
I asked Charlie to leave my room, but he said no.
Okay. I'll speak to him in a bit, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I normally deal with things.
What I'm noticing from your family dynamic at the moment is, like, Alex, and obviously, like, you know, I love Alex, man. He's a top guy, legend of the game.
Why don't you like the other two?
I love the other two, but all what right. I'm saying is Alex is what we're talking about. He sees you more as a sort of mediator, referee, rather than a sort of security, sort of bodyguard, in a way.
Yeah, well, so what do you mean?
Right. He's out in the garden.
Yeah.
He's turned around and gone, like, I don't know what beasts and like what scary shit's going through his mind, right? But he's like, I need someone to defend me if anything happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my mum for that job.
Right.
And then it's like, Charlie's in his room. Who's the best at mediating? Who's like the sort of like more clerical one of my parents? I want to go to my dad.
Well, I wish I could even take that as some sort of compliment, but the fact of the matter is the only reason he came to speak to me is because Lisa's out. I wish I could cling on to even that sort of vague scrap of a compliment you gave me when you suggested he might see me as a clerical parent. I can't even accept that in good faith, because the truth is he spoke to me because I'm the only adult in the house. And if there was anyone else, even a burglar, I imagine he would have gone to them first.
And Charlie's probably two, three years away from sort of outranking you in that sense.
Well, I guess so, yeah. It might get to a point where the boys actually start asking each other to help them out. And then I just become completely and utter. You know, one of the things I notice, I sometimes think, am I turning into my dad? And every now and again, we used to have, I don't know why, we'd have like recordings. There'd be videos from like when we were growing up and stuff, right? And in my head, my dad was like an active parent. I mean, you know, he had his flaws, parenting and husband wise, but you know, he was there or thereabouts, right?
Yeah.
And he was like really like, you know, I really got on with my dad. Every video I've ever seen of us when we were growing up is us all chatting and my dad just completely silent. Just sitting in the corner of the room, just observing stuff or eating something or nipping out for a fag. And that's, I think, oh, wow, my dad, if you were to take that as a study of how the house worked, you'd conclude from that my dad was surplus to requirements.
Wow.
And that's how I feel about myself in this house.
I don't think you're that guy. I think you they need you for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
I think you're a good role model for your boys.
In what way? I'm never here.
I think.
And when I am here, I'm very distracted.
No, I think you are. Look, they look at you. They look at that you've got a certain amount of cachet, a certain amount of power.
I think. I don't think you need the A at the end of cachet, though. I think they very much see me as the financier.
Right. The house. If they look at you, right, and you are doing one of your sort of skits and joking around by the side of a pool and people are laughing at you, like some of your sort of friends and stuff, like your Hollywood friends and what. You know, Portugal friends, right? They see you and they'll be like in the pool with their mates. They'll look over, you're doing one of your zingers, and they'll go, actually, you know what? My dad's pretty cool. I think that's a nice sort of sentiment for them.
Yeah,
to think,
you know? I don't know if they've got that.
I think they have. Mm. I think they know that you're a cool guy.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I think you're doing a disservice for me. I think you're very empathetic and.
You couldn't even choke it out your mouth, could you? No, you sort of, you know what happened there is you knew that you'd put the boot in. You sort of heard me being quite quiet because it's Sunday morning, and then you thought, I need to turn this around by telling him he's empathetic.
I think anyone who knows you knows how caring you are and empathetic you are and what a nice person. I think a thoroughly modern man. I think your boys will look at you in such a way. I think when they look at you, they know that you're a modern guy, modern dude.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, and you dress nice. So
yeah, no, thank you. Thanks very much. I feel like I'm being spoken to like the kid who came last in the running race. You know, you got your shorts on. You know, those look nice. You look good. You tucked your T-shirt in. You had a nice smile as you crossed the finish line. So, you know, be proud of that.
It's weird, isn't it, to think how your boys view you? I mean, look, they probably know that you've got some pretty epic friends as well. So that's always cool. Like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, myself and Beckett and whatever. So
it's actually an interesting point that you make, because there is something about I remember always thinking, like, I don't want my kids to be embarrassed of me.
Yeah,
right. Well, you know, there's part of you that thinks I don't want my kids to be embarrassed of me, and actually the truth is there is something about you being the parent that you cannot avoid making them cringe. That is just so you either try and minimise it or you embrace it, lean into it.
Let me just say, you say your dad wasn't. Yeah, you know, my dad, the thing that, you know, and I love my dad dearly, he's, you know, an incredible man and whatever, but he used to revel in making me cringe and being embarrassed. Mm. You know, yeah. He would like, yeah, he'd like, he was a, like mechanic and sort of always, he'd pick the crappiest car to come and pick me up in when I was like 13, to think it was hilarious to beep outside the school and sort of sit there or put on a stupid voice or sort of, you know, say
my something. Dad did that. My dad would turn up his accent. You sound like he'd literally just arrived minutes ago, right? He would also, he used to come in hot pants.
What?
Yeah, he used to wear really short shorts. and whenever, if I ever got nice trainers, like I remember once I got a brand new pair, like it was like my pride and joy, these Jordan 5s, he came to school wearing them.
Wow.
Just to see what it would do to me.
Yeah, my dad sort of, he sort of would revel it. He was very popular at sort of like P parents' evenings and stuff because he was very jovial and sort of would often sort of like take, I mean, he still does. He'll still sort of take the mick out of me. When it comes to sort of DIY around the house or whatever, he still finds it hilarious. I can't do most things. And do you know what I mean? He's coming up here to do some jobs while I'm away with my mum. Even my mum, to be fair, is better at DIY than I am.
So while you're away, your mum and dad are coming to do some DIY for you?
They're doing just stuff around here. They enjoy doing stuff around the house. That's
how I would tell myself that can be justified.
Mate,
as well.
There's a generation of people, and it's not our generation, let me tell you, who revel in doing things. Even if he goes away and stays at an Airbnb, right, he'll say to him, oh, yeah, no, they had a problem with the fucking something, you know, the gas valve on the fucking toilet, and I had to, you know, so I sorted that out for him. Like, if there's anything wrong in a house, he'll sort it out, even if he's paying to be there.
Yeah.
Not that he pays to be at my house.
No, sure. But how will you reimburse your parents for doing that?
Well, I'll buy them fucking wine or, you know.
Okay, that sounds like something you've just freestyled there as a last question.
I've brought them wine.
So the answer to that is fuck all?
No, I buy them little gifts and little tokens and also, yeah. Mate, it's the same thing, like he called me yesterday, he's got to go to York, right? Him and my mum are going to York with some friends of theirs, right? And they're like, well, we're all just looking at the best way to York. We've just got the A to Z out. I was like, 2021. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to take you 4.3 hours. Right. Yeah. Because there's a good thing called Google now. You just literally get on the A1 and keep driving. You're in York.
Yeah.
But he'll go, oh, you know, I'm going to look at a couple of different things. Get the little gaze thing to so you can see how exact far it is. It's like the conversation, which everyone of that generation that I know, right, if you arrive somewhere, we'll turn around, the first thing, what route did you take in the end? And you're like, we follow Google. It's literally like a conversation that for years and generations people have had, probably since the Roman times where people went, oh, you know, we went on the stone road, then we had a little, you know, a little walk on the dirt, oh, the dirt track, yeah, through Loughborough, whatever. Like, they will go, oh, you went with the B62 onto the A55, oh, yeah, that's the best way, I'd have gone there.
I think that's a lost art, you know, because now when I'm getting gigs or whatever, I just put on the sat nav, right? I have no fucking idea where I am. If that thing decided to shut down, right? If that died and then I pulled over by the side of the road and I phoned somebody to help me, they go, where are you? I've got absolutely fucking, I'm somewhere between Crawley and Nottingham. Help me.
You'd actually probably been in my house so I could come and help you. But
okay. Yeah.
Because I'm pretty much exactly between Crawley and Nottingham.
You're between Crawley and Nottingham?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Right. It's a hell of a gaff you got.
I remember when Satnavs first came out, right? Yeah. And I was working festivals at the time. We were doing festivals. And we were going to some festival in the middle of a fucking field somewhere to sell T-shirts. And we had a kid called Ollie who was working with us. And it was me, my friend Sam, and this kid Ollie. And we're looking around trying to find this fucking field, right? And every time, you remember when Satnavs, they were like so, they just freak out quite a bit, wouldn't they, when they first, and I was like, you know, it would say we're going to get to this place, then it would change the place, then it would get more and more annoying. And I said, oh, if this happens again, I'm just going to throw this fucking thing out the window, right? And it happens again, the thing fucking freaks out. This kid Ollie, who wasn't the brightest boy in the world, got the sat-nav, ripped off the windscreen and just threw it out of the window as we were driving along at about 70 miles an hour. And I was like, what are you fucking doing? He went, just as you said, just throwing it out the fucking window, mate. And I'm like, but I clearly didn't. We haven't got a map now. That was our only way of finding out where we are. It's a fucking insane, like, let me just gauge a couple, because I haven't seen it. He's a lovely boy. I say boy, he's like early 20s when we were working with us, but he was a younger man than us. Yeah. Couple of stories, like, I remember when we first worked at festivals and we used to sell sunglasses, T-shirts, right? And I said, look, the sunglasses...
Where were you... was this like... Is this high-end sunglasses? What's...
No. Okay. I mean, the price point was from £12. And I said, you can go down to £5, right? Lowest margin is £5. Highest is £12. Right.
But is this a thing that you'd set up as a little entrepreneur?
Yeah. I did this for about 3 or 4 years, like, sold T-shirts at festivals just to sort of... my habit for stand-up and comedy, I wanted to try and sort of be on the open road.
I respect it. It's good. It's good hustle. And I like it.
So the first day he's working for us, a woman comes up and says, how much are these sunglasses? He said, £12. She said, I'm not paying £12 for these. He said, give us £5. I said, you've got about 30 price points between 12 and 5, son. I'll give us 11:50. 11. All right, I'll give you the He said, what should I? I said 5 and then worked up from it. No, don't ever say the lowest point.
How the fuck are you going to work up? You should have said, yeah, go on, work up from it. Let me see how you get on. £5. Okay, I'll give you £5. No, actually, I mean, no, six, please.
The worst thing, right, we've done Glastonbury, and Glastonbury is a festival. It's incredible to go. But if you work at Glastonbury, you get there a week before, like 5 days before, set up your stall, and then you're just in, all right? Mm, and then you leave, like, I think, day or two after.
Yeah.
So we're basically, you know, and you've got people trying to rob your stall and all that, so you don't get much sleep. So we're all fucking, like, shattered, and we turn around and we're like, right, you know, let's just get a hotel near Glastonbury. We'll chill there for, like, a day, just all catch up on our sleep, and then we'll make the drive back to London. So we get to this place, and I'm, like, fucked, and I'm sharing a room with there's three of us in a room. I turn around and say to these two guys I'm with, I said, like, I was going to jump in a bath. But if I fall asleep in there, like, obviously just give me a shout and just give me a knock on the door and let me know that, you know, wake me up type thing.
Mm.
So I get in this bath, lovely warm bath. I've not even had a proper wash for fucking, you know, a week.
So that water's got, well, how quickly before that water's brown?
Almost automatically, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm fucked. It feels good. Yeah. And my body sitting just relaxes. Sitting there
like Shrek in his swamp.
Yeah. Yeah, both physically and emotionally, I look like Shrek and feel like Shrek. And
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Well, I just, like, my eyes go, I have a little bit of lavender as I always do in a bath.
No, I know that about you.
Some bath salts. And, you know, I buy a one-way ticket to the Land of Zed.
Yeah.
And I'm KO'd. I wake up, right, as I think the last echelons of my life, elite, the bath is fucking freezing.
Right.
I've been in there for about 2.5 hours, right? I literally am, like, literally awake, and it's like the freezing sensation of being in an ice cold bath now. I just, like my heart's about to stop. I sort of pull myself up and I look all over like a prune, right? I'm literally shriveled all up, but I can barely move. I'm shaking with cold. Put a towel around me. I open the door, and the two of these two guys are sitting watching television. And I'm like, why didn't you wake me? And this guy goes, you look so peaceful in there. We wanted to leave you a little bit longer. I was like, I was fucking this is the kid for you. I was dying. I was genuinely like, that was it. Like, if I hadn't woke myself up, I'd have just, like, been found frozen to death in the bath. This is how stupid
you wouldn't have frozen to death.
Well, yeah, I would. Mate, that's how it works.
What do you mean that's how it works?
You know, I can't believe I've got to explain temperature to you.
Yeah, go on. Talk me through it.
Well, when I got in the bath, it was hot. Yeah. When I woke up, it was cold. It would have kept getting colder.
Yeah, you're not, like, in the fucking Arctic. Is it going to drop to a certain level, mate?
Yeah, no, the water keeps getting colder.
It doesn't keep getting colder forever. So if you put a glass of water out, you leave it there for a couple of days, fucking hell, it's completely frozen through this. Got myself a glass of ice here. Why are people bothering to try and make ice cubes in the freezer? Just fucking leave the tray out. Temperature will keep dropping. Don't worry about it.
No, it gets colder, though, because nighttime comes in.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, sure.
But once the night comes in, then you're done for.
Yeah, sure. Right. But I would say...
If you are in water, let me just tell you this, just because I'm worried about you genuinely now. Do not be in water as the night tiptoes into the day, right? Because I tell you what, mate, you'll be done for. Don't be naive to like, yes, it won't turn to ice, but it will turn cold, mate. And if you're in cold water for too long, your body goes, oh, well.
I don't know what temperature you think I'm keeping my home at. I'm inside a fucking house. Like, well, what are you talking about?
Do you know about your core temperature? Do you know about the core temperature?
God, well, I don't know what you're about to tell me about core temperature, no.
If your core temperature drops, you can never get it back. So you're always cold after that.
Is that what happened to Mr. Freeze?
I don't know. I'm not a super, I'm not a comic book guy. So I'd assume that that... No, that is...
What do you mean? What if your core temperature goes down, you can't ever get it back?
So once your core temperature drops, let's say between, because I'm not a scientist, between like 34.5, right? And it goes into the 33s, right?
I understand that's lower, yeah.
Yeah, that is where you've really got to be careful, because if it's there and it hits, like goes too low, there's no way of, it's like a fire, right?
So hold on, you're telling me if your core temperature goes down by a degree, there is no way of getting
There's a baseline. I don't know the chemical reactions of it, right? But there's a place where if it goes below a certain amount, it can never get, because you can never feel that warmth to stoke that fire again. So your body will always be at, like, you know, when you see people who are like, oh God, I'm always cold. And you're like, I can tell you why, mate. Mm. You've not taken care of your temperature.
Sat in a bath for too long. What a load of shit you're talking.
That's true.
There's no fucking way that people have said, oh, I can't shake the, oh, is that your core temperature drop? What are you on about?
Mate, I have been told that. I remember when I first heard that, and I was like, fucking hell, we need to be careful then.
Was it Ollie by any chance?
It wasn't him. It was... He had no idea about core temperatures. It was another friend.
So these poor guys that have just seen you in the bath thought, hey, look at him, just let him, sending him away. Let's just let him relax for a bit. And then you get up like a fucking angry bear after hibernation. Start shouting at them because they wanted to leave you to relax.
I couldn't raise my voice because I was so cold. Mm. Night had come in by then. I'll tell you how late it was. I think at the time they were watching a show, probably that was on at
You're indoors, they're watching telly, you're having a lavender bath, okay? And then you come out like you've had a near-death experience, saying things like, the night had come in. It was nighttime, that's what you say. They're trying to add more drama in it.
I mean, that's...
Darkness had filled the land by the time I woke up from my bath.
Let me just tell you something. I was on a beach yesterday and I actually sat there and thought, we don't give enough gravitas to the sun and moon's work. Oh yeah, it's nighttime now. Night come in. Give him. Yeah, he's there every day for you, the moon, doing his thing.
The moon doesn't make it dark. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, the sun goes in and the moon comes out.
No. First of all, neither of those things happen. That's what appears to happen.
Right.
Is this the first time you're finding out that the earth moves?
No, I know that the earth moves round. Yeah. So like a circular motion. So
did you watch the Teletubbies and think that was a documentary?
No, the way that the earth moves around, obviously we go past the sun and we go past the moon. Sure. I know that.
Yeah. Right? So the night comes in, the night draws in, and you think we need to what?
I just think celebrate we need to show... the moon.
Yeah, you know what
I
you
think
are?
We need to be
you're,
a little bit more...
You're a witch. That's what you are. You want to go out there and do one of your little festivals?
Let me just say one thing, right?
A little dance of the moon.
I have never been to such a beautiful beach as the one I went to yesterday.
What was it?
Holcombe Beach, Norfolk. Mm. I think you truly love it. I think you need to go.
That's the best beach in the world you've ever been to?
No, look,
Or does it happen to be the beach you went to? Why don't you just really say what you mean? Holcombe Beach was the beach I went to most recently. And it's the one that I could easiest remember.
No, right, let me just say, I think it was a lovely surprise how beautiful it was.
Right, okay. So you had low expectations.
Yeah, I got there, the sand was just like flour between my toes, right? Okay. I take off my shoes, I roll up my trousers, and I go into the sea, right? Right. And I just stood there just for a second as the waves, actually more than a second because it takes probably for about 15, 20 seconds where I just stand, right?
Mm, yeah. And, who are you with?
With my wife and my dog, right?
And where's your wife at this point?
She's also in the sea with her together and a dog, but he doesn't like waves.
This is a really nice story, actually.
And the waves are just gently lapping against our shins, okay? I look towards the sun and he's done for the day, or she. And then I look across and you know that beautiful moment we can see the sun and the moon? And it's almost like the moon is just nodding to the sun to say, yeah, I got this now. and it was just a nice moment.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Do you ever have moments like that where you just
Do I ever have moments where I think this is a profound moment and actually it just sounds like the opening to a children's book?
As the waves gently lapped against Tom's shins, he looked up.
The sun put his coat on and he headed off. And just as he was leaving, the moon popped in and said, "Hello, mate. I've got this now." "Thank you," said the sun. "You're welcome," said the moon.
I had a beautiful ice cream. It was a really nice day. I think that we've got to take those moments in life sometimes. Just that it doesn't have to be like a minute or an hour, just a couple of seconds, just to sort of like, just actually take it all in.
Yeah.
Good.
I've had a few muggy moments recently.
That's unsurprising as an absolute mug.
Look at you, you're so fucking pleased with yourself.
I wasn't going to say that, but I thought, nah, go for it.
I was on the plane coming back from Portugal. As you know, I'm sat down. I sat next to Charlie on the way back, and people are coming in, boarding the plane. This guy's holding his kid.
Yeah.
Right, little kid, like maybe two, something like that. Right. Yeah. He's got this kid in his arms. The kid looks at me, right.
Yeah.
And goes and sort of gestures to him. It was so, and went Inu, Inu, right. And then he goes, yeah, Inu, and the way that the kid said it. Was like, I think they've invented a racial slur. I think they call brown people Inus. Like that's the way the kid said it to me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I was just
saying. Wait, he's a racist kid.
Mate, listen, I'm telling you, he referred to me as an Inu.
Who's your youngest kid, Alex?
Charlie.
Charlie?
Yeah.
So in that situation, Charlie's got a man up, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't think Charlie was aware of, you know, because there's an argument there that I'm being deeply paranoid. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not
but
sure.
the kids.
What's the dad like? Break the dad down for me.
Love, hate across his knuckles. Union Jack tatted on his forehead. He spat at me as he walked past. But I don't think that's got anything to do with it.
No, but genuinely, what did he look like?
He just looked quite like a middle class kind of.
Yeah.
You know, well. What's the word I'm looking for? You know these guys.
Hidden racist.
No, do you know like there's certain dads that just. Very well groomed. Do you know what I mean? He's got like a little fresh polo tucked into his shorts and espadrilles and all. You know what I'm talking about. Just like,
okay.
He looked pretty well. Nicely done. You know what I mean?
Did you sort of say anything or did you just suck it up?
Well, it took me a while to process what was happening. I sort of saw it and at first I went to laugh because I thought, oh, that kid's cute. And then as they walked past, I realised they'd both agreed that I'm an Inu. But I just don't know what Inu is. I've never heard.
Did you not Google it?
I mean, I'll Google it now. I don't think... He didn't seem embarrassed about it. Do you know what I mean? Inu. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Well, that's quite a popular baby name, apparently.
Really?
So anyway, can somebody tell me, is Inu an insult? Or is this something that, you know... I'd really
it's
like
a good
know,
place for...
I felt slighted.
The Owlians and the Wolfians to get on.
Another thing that happened to me the other day, mate, is for the first time in a long time, I ate some food stood up. I know this sounds like a non-story.
Go on.
But I was on my way to a meeting. I was like rushing. I was absolutely starving. I didn't know when I was going to get a chance to get some lunch. I didn't have time to sit down and eat something. So I just stopped in a Tesco, got a wrap, and then like I stood outside where I was due to go into the meeting and just ate this thing in the street.
Sort of inhaled it.
How often do you do that?
Me?
Yeah.
Not.
It's low, isn't it? It is a low thing to do. Do you know what
I walk and eat sometimes. But I mean, Tesco, I've just sort of more than anything. I'm like, of all the places you could go in London, you went to Tesco's.
Well, I was in a super rush. No. So I was just, I didn't have time to specifically go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was just like, there's a Tesco there. Is that your problem with what I did?
No, I just think like, for me, I'd always just go, like, look, there's some Tesco's is great. I use Tesco's like, as a
let
big
me tell you
shop,
something. They right? do a vegan, hoisin duck wrap. Delightful.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say, by the way, fake meats are just getting incredible. I know we talked about this a long time ago. Mm. Fake meats are getting incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just getting better and better and better.
Yeah. What's your favourite?
I actually think that meats people will start having meats completely in the next sort of, probably the next 10 years.
Within the next 10 years, people will stop eating meat completely.
Yeah. I think that they're getting so good at pretend meats.
what an incredible way to make something quite intelligent complete bullshit with one word.
What's the bullshit word?
10.
How many years do you think it'll be?
It's going to take longer than 10 years. Everyone's going to stop eating meat within 10 years.
Look, I think some people are going to do it on merit. Some people are going to do it by being tricked. I had some fake chicken the other day. Mm. When the guy turned around to me and said it was fake chicken, I was like, what?
Explain to me the scenario that happened, please.
I had some food to eat. I ordered in Soho. It was a little Soho place.
And you ordered chicken.
Yeah, but I didn't. On the menu, it did say it wasn't real chicken.
Right.
But it was labeled as chicks, C-H-I-X.
Okay.
Right. So when I ordered it, I just assumed it was chicken.
Sure.
Didn't read the bit under it. It sounded nice with the sauce and rice.
Okay.
Afterwards, I was like, that was amazing. That chicken was so succulent and juicy, right?
You didn't say that.
I always have a comment if I've really enjoyed food.
Yeah, but don't say succulent and juicy.
Why not? That's exactly what meat should be when it's nice.
Just say it's nice. Just say it's delicious, tasty.
Well, yeah, but then anyone could say that. You could say that about anything.
Yeah, but you don't want to get fucking arrested for paying your compliments to the waiter.
Right, look. If I turned around and said, that's an attractive partner you've got. They're succulent and juicy, right? That would be rude.
Sure.
If I'm describing something that was perfectly succulent and deliciously juicy, right, that's fine to use those adjectives.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, sure.
Like, otherwise, what are fruit critics going to say about every place they like? Very nice. We'd definitely come again. Like, the one time that you can really use your vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
Is when you're discussing food, I think.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, what I'm saying is discuss it with whoever you're eating with afterwards.
Don't... You know, I was on my own, so he became my sort of like friend.
Do you know what? I really admire this about you, that you, if you're on your own eating somewhere, you do the exact opposite of me. What I do, I don't make direct eye contact. I order as quickly as possible. I eat as quickly as possible. And then I run out and sort of pay on the way out. You, on the other hand, fucking burden whoever's serving you with the job of being your mate for the duration of the meal.
Do you not chat to the waiters and stuff when they come over?
Not really, no. I mean, I'm polite.
Yeah, yeah, no. Your manners are, are excellent.
And if something comes up, you know, if something happens, I'll sort of reference it. But I won't go...
Oh, yeah.
I won't open up a banter channel needlessly. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever ask them, like, how long they've worked there or sort of questions about themselves?
No. Really? I do not. No. No.
I often do.
Do you?
Yeah, and I'll say, what's good on the menu? Da-da-da-da.
That's within the normal...
Yeah.
Within the normal remit of things you'd say to a waiter.
Do you know what one of my most treasured things is? When you go to a restaurant and you notice a member of staff who used to work somewhere else and you're like, oh, didn't you used to work in so-and-so? And they'll go, oh, yeah. And it's quite a nice moment.
Yeah. And then then later on that night, they'll call the police and go, look, I don't want you to do anything about this now. But I just want to sort of flag it up. If it could be written down somewhere, I put, just sort of recorded in some place. There's a guy, wherever I work, he turns up.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I was in Costa yesterday, and it was quite a busy. There was one woman working. Shout her out, she did incredible, smashing it. And there was a guy about four people down, and he had like a ponytail, but his hair, top of his head was black, and then like his ponytail was red, so black and red hair together, like the AC Milan shirt, right? And he turned around to the woman and was like, is Daniel working today? And she was like, oh, he's not in again today. And he went, I'll catch up with him sooner or later. And he laughed for about 5 minutes on that joke. Like, I found it very sweet. Quite a sort of, he's been coming in every day looking for Daniel. And this is clearly Daniel's are trying to avoid him.
Mm.
Yeah, it's quite a nice sort of moment.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny how we describe time, you know, because like, there's absolutely no way he laughed for 5 minutes at that joke.
No, that's because
that would be, that wouldn't be sweet. That'd be fucking insane. If he went, I'll catch up with him sooner or later, and then just stood there laughing for 5 solid minutes.
Should we just do a thing now?
But that's me taking you very literally. But I knew what you meant. So weird. You said 5 minutes. In my head, I go, it's slightly too long. So 10 seconds in my head, I think.
It was longer than ten seconds.
Okay.
It was longer than 10 seconds.
Well, look, 10 seconds is. Let me do 10 seconds of laughing now. Okay, ready?
Go on, I'm going to time you. Wait. I'm going to tell you when. Okay. And go.
Right, so that's fucking bananas, right? That sounded insane, right?
Yeah, I definitely can tell you it wasn't 5 minutes, right? It was more, right, have you got any way of timing or should I time?
Yeah, I'm good time. What do you want to do?
Okay,
okay.
This is how long I reckon it was.
Let me count you in, okay. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
I'll catch up with him sooner or later. Catch up with him later. About that sort of thing.
18 seconds.
Yeah.
And also there's no fucking way you did that. Absolutely no way you did that. It's also including you saying the joke and then repeating it, what, twice?
No, he repeated the joke. He did repeat the joke at least once. Okay. And then he had what looked like a nice cold sort of pineapple type drink and made his way out.
Mm, fair play to him.
It's sort of quite sad as well, because in a way I'm just like, I sort of think he probably needed a friend yesterday, and he sort of turns up every day to get, you know, a drink and hopes that Daniel's going to be there. Clearly hasn't got Daniel's number or any way of sort of hitting him up on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Mm. So he sort of goes in for a chat with this elusive Daniel. And yeah, there's a bit of me that felt, man, if I wasn't going on a road trip with my wife and going to the beach, I'd probably sort of said to him, right,
oh my God, were you with your wife in this?
No, she was waiting in the car.
Oh, okay. She's waiting in the car?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So sorry, there's nothing wrong with her waiting in the car. It's just in my head. You were sat down at a table when this happened, but you're in the queue.
Oh, no, I was in the queue. Yeah. I like to soak it in when I'm in a queue and see what sort of things people are ordering. And,
absolutely doesn't surprise me.
Do you ever, in the queue, just sort of like do a little huff and then sort of go, this is longer than usual? Or sort of like to anyone else in the queue? Or?
No, but you have that thing, don't you, where you do a knowing look at, you make eye contact with someone about a customer in front. Just
Could have made up
your mind in the queue, mate, rather than deciding
that. That happened yesterday. Two girls who hadn't thought about what, and they had the last two chocolate twists.
So fucking enough. What?
Yeah, I was devastated. Yeah, I was watching these two chocolate twists, and then I was like, this woman's working on her own. She's clearly not going to have enough time to make any more chocolate twists. But it just makes you think, doesn't it, about people, how different everyone is, I guess.
So I was with two of the boys, and as you know, we've talked about this, they love a chocolate twist.
Yeah.
And there were two chocolate twists left. The boys wanted one each. Do the maths. I say to the girl working there, I said, can I have those two chocolate twists? The woman behind me goes, oh, I had my eye on one of those.
Wow. Wow. That's put you in a very hard predicament.
First of all, that takes some fucking bollies to say that.
There's a part of me that wishes I'd done that the other day. You know what? I had me in pan of raisin and I hated every bite of it.
Mm. Mm.
You know, when you're psyching yourself up for a fucking surf upon a fucking chocolate twist and you end up fucking a stinky old pan of raisin, it's just not the same, is it?
No, you're absolutely right, yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know who I feel the most sorry for? Is Catherine having to listen to that monologue when you get back in the car?
She was actually more upset about not having a chocolate twist than I was. Yeah. Because in the end, I had a pan of, took my pan of raisin and half of hers.
Yeah, of course you did. Oh, it's horrible. Fucking sticky. It tastes like ashes in my throat. Can I have a bit of yours?
I ate like a dustman yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a pan of raisin.
Then I had one and a half pan of raisin.
Yeah. Then I had fish and chips for lunch.
Nice.
With a bread roll.
With a bread roll?
Yeah. Yeah, to eat your chips in.
What the fuck? Now listen, you've justified bread in the past with mopping up sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got no such excuses with fish and chips, mate. These are dry items.
Have you ever had chips in a sandwich?
Yeah, sure, I have, yeah.
Yeah, and did it not blow your mind? Every bite is delicious if it's got just enough vinegar and salt on.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, that's when I feel like having a chip. So I had fish chips and a lamb jalfrezi. So that's a bit fucking mad, isn't it? Sorry, mate, have you ever had a lamb jalfrezi? Yeah. Delicious.
No, right. When I get into a fish and chip shop, I never intend on getting a roll. But then I see them sitting there and I think they've been sent out to do something special. And actually, there's nothing sadder than probably like being a bread roll at the end of the day who hasn't been picked. He's been freshly buttered. He's sitting there. He's like, oh, hopefully this is my, you know, because bread rolls have only got a day's, you know, we talked about butterflies. We talk about, you know, how long something's got. They're just going to be in the bin.
Mm.
You know, or maybe a member of staff just fucking suffers it. You know, very much like the fucking life cycle of a pan of raisin.
Yeah.
So being picked as a bread roll and someone to come in and go, you know what, I'm going to have the bread roll as well, I think it's a very decent accolade.
If you were a bread roll, would you rather your fate be sort of languishing in a bin? Or would you like someone like you to buy you and eat you? Is that what you prefer as a thing?
That's your purpose as a bread roll.
Right, okay.
Otherwise, you're just going to end up in landfill.
Sure. But you're just, you know, you're chilling then, aren't you?
Yeah, but then it's like you winning all your awards and stuff, right? That, for a bread roll, the biggest award, the biggest thing that you can do in life...
is passing through your arsehole in about 48 hours' time.
Oh, no, he's already been through. I had pizza last night. So
all right, fair enough.
And then for tea, I had the Domino's pizza.
What'd you go for?
Double Decadence.
Oh,
Texas,
my God. Really?
Yeah, it was a pretty gross day.
How did you feel at the end of that day?
I didn't feel bad at the end of the day. I woke up this morning feeling like an absolute piece of shit.
Mm.
I think because I've not... this week I've been really busy, so I've not trained enough. And
Me neither.
And I feel very, very like... yeah, you know, the difference of training at least four times a week and the difference of doing nothing is a big like hit on your mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Well, actually, I was going to say... by the way, it's lovely to speak to you. We haven't really spoken to each other as much as we normally do this week.
Yeah.
But we are both a bit like, you know, this has been fun, but we are a bit subdued, aren't we? I think that is because neither of us have been on. You know, your energy levels are totally determined by it. How you are in your head is determined by it, isn't it?
Massively. I think this week I got to Friday and I was like, like I said to my wife, I'm literally so anxious.
Yeah,
she's like, about what? And I was like, I have no idea about
that's
what.
That's the worst, man.
I've got it today.
Don't get me wrong. I've got a tour show and stuff, but I'm buzzing to do. Like, I love doing touring.
Yeah.
But it's just this thing sitting in the back of your brain where you're just like, I feel like I've got a bad feeling or like a worry or whatever. And then you go, what is it?
Horrible.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I lay in bed at 3 o'clock this morning. With like literally like something, so, you know, like someone's just turning your whole like your insides, and you're like, why? What have I got to be so worried about? You know, I'm a positive sort of person. Woke up this morning, went for a nice breakfast, but was I feel like this anxiety sort of leads into this sort of quite horrible paranoia of like a sort of feeling of unrest when actually you should be rested. And then it's, you know, you're sort of, your whole head is just clicking and clocking, and you're like, it's just, it's not a nice thing. Weirdly, I know as well. I'm like, if I'm boxing, I try and go boxing twice a week, try and do workouts with Stan a couple of times a week. And then, you know, I feel better for it. It's just work last week was insane. That literally was like every day leaving the house at 6, not home till 9. And it's, you know, that thing of like, I just haven't got time. And then that weird thing of, you know, like when Mark Wahlberg and The Rock came out with, oh, this is my daily routine, right?
Yeah.
I think even on here, me and you scoffed and we joked about it, and we were like, there's a part of me that was like, when like halfway through last week when I started to really fucking, I could feel my fucking head going a bit, I was like, oh, that's why they get up at 5 and fucking smash a routine. Because they'll catch them sleep in the car, or they'll catch them sleep on whatever, on the train, you know, that they get a train, but they'll catch up on that. But the main thing is just to get that adrenaline, that fucking, to sweat.
Totally. It's worth doing it. And also, we haven't spoken to each other as much. I mean, I do think that's a fact.
Yeah, I've missed your sweet, sweet tones.
Well, you know, you've been busy, haven't you?
So have you, though. So have you. I've noticed you've been busy. Not on your own Instagram, but you've been popping up on other people's.
Okay, do you want to do some emails?
Let's do it, baby boy.
Okay, this is from Tom T.
Wow.
It's quite a quick one, this first one to start off with. All right. Hello, Romesh and Tom.
Wow.
Pleasure to know you may be reading my email. I was listening to the podcast and you were talking about Red Bull Romesh. I thought I would tell you that Red Bull contains taurine, an enzyme from bull's intestines. So it's not vegan or vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian. I want to be vegan, but sometimes eat things with egg in, like pasta and noodles. I've drunk energy drinks before and read the label to see taurine halfway through. Gross and infuriating. Sorry to bother you, but I thought you'd want to know.
Wow, what a nice guy. Shout out, Tom T.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I can't see why Tom T would lie. Seems like a pretty earnest chap.
I'm not suggesting that Tom T is lying. I'm suggesting that Tom T is wrong.
Have you looked into this?
Well, I'll look into it right now. But to me, I'm going to be honest with you, it feels incredibly unlikely that
it's got it in the name, though. It's a Red Bull, isn't it? So it would feel like something that could be true. Would you go toe-to-toe with Red Bull if this is true?
What do you mean go toe-to-toe with them?
Well, would you? I mean, as a vegan, and you're probably, I'd say, in the top 10 vegans in the world, like Gwyneth Paltrow and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Would you not get on your vegan group and say, look, we've got a fucking problem here?
I'm looking it up now. Where do you get taurine from? Is that what I should Google?
Yeah. What is taurine?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Wowzers.
Taurine in energy drinks. Where does it come from? Despite urban myths, taurine does not come from bull urine or bull semen. The so-called wonder molecule is a type of amino acid found in many foods added to energy drinks because of its benefits. Red Bull is suitable for vegetarians. So there you go.
Wow.
There you go. Tom T, happy to have
you think
fielded that.
Do you know where Red Bull originated from?
No. Are you about to tell me that you pronounce it Red Bull or something like that?
No. It was originally made for army GIs in the Vietnam War to keep them up.
Is that true?
Yeah. A lot of them had quite serious sort of like side effects. It's been watered down now and it's not as strong as it was first one. Yeah. That's where it first was invented.
How do you know this? I'm looking it up now as you say that. How do you know that?
I remember when Red Bull was first on the mix and someone told me that. I was addicted to Red Bull and vodka back in the day.
Yeah. You can get fucked up on that. And I'm not talking about the Red Bull and vodka. I'm talking about if you know sometimes when you're knackered and you think Red Bull's a solution. Actually, what happens is you get yourself into a bit of trouble.
I don't touch it now. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, why?
Because I used to drink it all the time. When I was working on sites and stuff, I was genuinely like, I'd have a couple of coffees in the morning and then I'd be on the Red Bulls in the afternoon. I'd probably have sort of four or five of them.
What about a Monster? Ever have a Monster?
Yeah, but you know what? I know this is really harsh and, you know, I don't want to go toe-to-toe with Monster because, you know, it does some good work, but whenever I see someone drinking, I have a massive can of Monster.
Mate, like this,
Red Bull, I look at Red Bull and I still look at it and I still have eyes of adulation towards Red Bull. I still look at it and go, guys, we had some great times with you. Fucking, I know it's girlfriend that you really got, you know, barely held, you know, ill will or sort of, it was not a bad breakup.
Sure.
When I see someone, I saw a guy yesterday at the beach and he had a massive can of Monster. Mm. And you just think that is so much energy.
I know.
No one needs that much.
No.
And the stuff it does to your guts.
Yeah.
When you read about, you know, have a little look into it, man.
Like, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. You got quite serious there, actually, didn't you?
Yeah, it's probably the
most serious. It is the most serious you've ever been, I think. Okay. Next email. This is from the Threadbare Lakeland Terrier.
Wow.
Okay. So, Anon, please. I mean, I can't imagine Lakeland Terrier's a real name, so I think we're right. Hi, Wolf Owl Pod Squadron. I'd like to follow up on Tom's tales of pre-holiday body hair shaving and get some advice. As a younger man, I had a trip booked to Italy with a mixed-sex group of pals. I was acutely aware that I'm a hirsute man. Every other guy on the trip had a smooth, boy-like torso, so I was concerned that I'd have a Sasquatch vibe, relatively speaking. I was single and hoping to mingle, and fretted that this would count me out. I took drastic action. Days before takeoff, I had my back professionally waxed for the first and only time. The lady who did it said, "Whatever you do, don't get hot and sweaty for the next 24 hours. As I left, I got a text from someone suggesting a trip to the Clapham Grand. Correctly maligned in previous pods, that night I went and I got hot and sweaty. 2 days after, we took off for Pisa. My back was itching. It broke out in a galaxy of zits. My hairless freak friends capered by the pool, and I cowered on the lounge with my usual dusting of fur replaced by throbbing pustules. Fucking hell.
Jeez.
I did not romantically mingle, and my miscalculation is still referred to 15 years later. I've never messed with my back since. I'm now a happy husband and dad, but do sometimes dream of a smooth rear torso. Tom, how do you shave without getting stubbly or spotty? Surely you need assistance to get to the middle bits. All help would be appreciated.
Number one, Anon. Because that other name's, frankly, too long to remember. Look, back knee is what you had there. So when the lady said she do not get hot and sweaty, that is gospel, my friend. That is something you should have listened to. You should have, so look, you're young, you're impressionable, you probably wanted to be cool, but yeah, if you kept it on a down low, kept that back nice and kept it on ice, you wouldn't have had the problem with the back knee. I've been there, bro. I've had that.
How bad is back knee?
How bad is it? It's fucking awful.
Really?
Because they get pustules on your back that you can't even reach. And if you're single, it's fucking 100 times worse.
Sounds horrific.
It's not good. So, listen, you're a father now, my friend. You're married now, my friend.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I just wanted to go on a different angle.
The way you're talking, it sounds like a Japanese film being like dubbed.
When I was younger, I went to Sweden with my family because my dad's best friend had married a Swedish woman, and they were all over there in Sweden. And we went out and watched, like, we were watching TV, like, and it was like a lot of American TV that had been dubbed into Swedish. And I always remember they had Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and every character was like done by the same person. So it was Uncle Phil, Will, or Carlton. They just all had the same voice. People were pissing themselves, like Swedish people were really laughing. I was like, this hasn't got any of you wouldn't have any idea. You know, he wasn't even trying to do different voices, the guy.
Yeah.
He was even doing Hillary.
Have you ever done a show that's been dubbed into another language?
No.
I've had a couple of shows, like Misadventures they put it on Indian television. And then they've got like, I've seen clips of it dubbed with like some guy doing my voice. It's so mad, man. It's just like,
how's he done? Has he sort of gone with that monotone voice, or is he more like? No, but you know, like you have a bit more like sway. But yeah. When you're doing your intellectual shit, it's quite sort of teachery.
No, he doesn't try and impersonate me. If that's your question.
All right.
So basically, he just needed to gone?
Look, I'm just gonna say now, don't let that incident in Pizzi or Pisa or whatever you went.
Pizza.
Be the Doberman at your back. But you do need to just go and get it lasered or get it waxed and just really treat yourself. It's a really incredible thing. You'll feel amazing.
How hairy is your back right now as I'm talking to you now?
Mine? Mm. Well, I keep mine on the down low now. I keep it nice.
Yeah.
Keep it nice. It's got a few sprinkles. It's probably like a garden that's just beginning to bloom.
Right. Okay. Jesus. Okay. Well,
you don't get any hair on your back.
But I don't shave it. I don't keep it.
Yeah. You know, like,
my arse is, you know, what someone would normally call the arse, but obviously I don't have one. It's quite hairy.
Is it?
Yeah. In fact, that's the only thing that denotes that an arse has started is the increased hair. You couldn't tell anything from gradient or slope or anything like that. It's just darker.
Just a bit more of a lawn. Not a rough on a golf course. Oh, what? Oh, you've had it in the rough.
Got yourself
get
in
back
trouble
on the fairway.
Here we go. This is from The Sparrow.
Sweet Sparrow.
Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, congratulations on a great podcast. Thank you for entertaining me over the last year. I'm getting in touch for your opinions/advice. I bought my first home last year. Congratulations. And I have a hot neighbour with whom I get on really well.
I like the sound of this.
Well, yes. Sure. There's a lot of flirting and the chemistry between us is palpable. My question is, should I make a move on my neighbour? Is this wise? On the one hand, there's an argument for not shitting where you eat. Okay, giving away a little bit what your intentions are. On the other, I'm not getting any younger. I'm 40. Sometimes you have to throw caution to the wind and go for it. What do you think? Your wise words will be carefully considered. Love to the three of you. The Sparrow.
So,
what do you think?
Man, look, I think destiny has had a shake-up in the Sparrow's life. And I think it's rolled a dice that has led the sparrow to making its nest near maybe someone it's intended to be with. Life is a long journey, my friend. And if I was you, I'd have a little stroll over there. I'd have a laugh, a joke. And maybe, just maybe, just I don't think you should be turning around and saying, yo, let's go out for a meal, or come around to my place and I'll cook you some dinner. But I do think, like, turning around and going, hey, how about we grab a drink? Mm. Yeah, let's leave this street stroke building behind. Go and get an ice cold drink, or if the weather's depending, go and get a nice warm coffee or glass of wine. Different drinks.
Yeah, sure. That's the main thing she wants to get the bottom of.
So is this a woman who's writing in, or a man?
It's a woman.
Okay, it's a woman in that case, yeah. Take the bull by the horns. I think have a little bit of a joke, be jovial. But let me tell you this, if the flirting is up and you're feeling that vibe is there, I will guarantee by the time this podcast comes out, he has asked you for a drink.
You guarantee that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you not think that there's... I mean, the reason I assume that she's feeling a little bit unsure is because there are obvious issues, aren't there?
What, like?
Well, like, if they do go out for a drink and it goes terribly, or they do start seeing each other for a bit and it goes terribly, and then they live next to each other.
That sometimes... This is the difference between, I guess, me and you in some ways. I'm sitting at the blackjack table and I've got 18.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes you've got to twist for that 21. Because, yeah, you might go bust, but you also might win the pot. That is, yeah, life is a roller coaster, man. You've got to ride it, fuck's sake.
Okay. Well, look, I think just go for it, do you know what I mean? You know, it'll probably be all right.
I think as well, the truth of the matter is, if he's flirting, yeah, if there's that vibe, yeah, and also let him be the douchebag. Say, yeah, do you want to go for a drink? If he goes, oh yeah, yeah, I don't want to chance my arm. Then just go, yeah, pussy, and just walk off.
No, that feels like terrible advice.
Or just yeah, but I don't.
She also said, should I make a move on my neighbour? So I don't know whether she means like she wants to start a relationship with this geezer, or she just wants, you know, to visit Smashdown for a little bit, you know, a little bit of casual.
Either or. I think the truth of the matter is this, yo. You are in a blessed and new position in your life, and enjoy that position. It's like Risk. You have got all of your players on the best side of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you've got a stranglehold on Europe. Just take Russia and you're in the game, baby.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Sparrow, if you can make any sense out of that load of shit, then good luck to you. I hope that you're able to find some sort of way through.
Also, let us know how it goes, Sparrow. Get in touch.
Yeah, please. Please do, Sparrow. Okay, look, Tom. It's about that time, Madge.
Yo.
Can you please... it's been quite... How would you describe this one? I'd say it's been quite relaxed, quite chill.
I think it's a chilled vibe. I think it's been a chill vibe.
Very chill vibe.
I think that's down to... Look, we've talked about, you know, where we both are mentally, where we both are physically.
Sure.
You know, let's rep it, let's rock it, and let's just try to top it.
Okay. Do you want to take us out?
Okay. Sandra Beaverbrook was the best... bartender stroke cocktail waitress in the small town of Helsinki that she lived in. People would come from miles around to taste her delightful cocktails, and she was incredible. Her house special, however, which was the Nature Fizz, was the one that everyone loved. Everyone ordered it. It was an incredible cocktail. And she started to feel a little bit more relaxed about the fact that, you know, she'd done this, you know, that she'd smashed this thing. And everyone was ordering the same old things every day, day in, day out. And she, Beaverbrook, started to almost just ride it easy, really. She almost didn't experiment anymore. And everyone loved her cocktails, but everyone ordered safely. Then one day she comes into the bar and her manager, Hernandez, turns around and says, yo, we're out of lemonade. And she says, oh my God, I need lemonade to make my famous Nature Fizz cocktail. Without it, you know, without lemonade, it's not the same. And he says, think of another cocktail. So Beaverbrook stands and thinks, and she mixes together Malibu and eggnog and all kinds of different things, and nothing seems to work. and people start coming in and everyone's ordering the nature fizz, and she has to say, they turn around and, the waiters and waitresses say, oh, I'm sorry that, Beaverbrook can't make that because there's no lemonade in, there's a national lemonade shortage. And everyone says, well, what is her next concoction, the next thing that she can do? And Beaverbrook sweats and she worries. And out of nowhere, she mixes rum with Coke and a number of other things. And she turns it to the waiter and says, this is my next concoction. This is the Beaverbrook. And they said, oh my God, it must be amazing he gave it your name. She waits as the first customer purses his lips against a straw and takes a slug into his mouth. Beaverbrook stands waiting to see what he does. As the straw releases from his lips, a smile comes across his face and he says, this is truly the greatest cocktail ever invented. Salutations to the Beaverbrook. Everyone starts shouting the Beaverbrook, get me another bottle of a Beaverbrook. Sales in a Beaverbrook rocket, and no one ever has a nature fizz again. And as Beaverbrook makes her way home that evening, she thinks, wow, you know what? The Beaverbrook was always inside of me. And maybe I should have just had a little bit more something in my own convictions. Maybe I should believe in myself more.
Mm.
Maybe, just maybe, sometimes when things feel like they're going against us, it's actually going for us. And that is the Beaverbrook in all of us.
That, do you know what? I felt like it was getting away from you for a short time, but you rallied it.
I think the
round.
Worst part about that one is I forgot what I have the first name of the character that I
had. Sure.
So it, having to name the drink, and I can't remember if it was Sheila Beaverbrook or Teresa. But look, the sentiment's the same.
That was lovely. Look, Tom.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, bro.
Thank you for letting me ride alongside you.
Guys listening, thank you for listening. Tom and I going through a little bit of a, what do you describe it, sticky patch,
yeah,
mentally.
Yeah.
I hope you guys aren't, but if you are, just remember you're not on your own. Do it to the max, you sweet, sweet souls.
Maybe look at a picture of me and Ramesh smiling and then just think, wow, even sometimes clowns are sad.
You're going to be on Google a long time trying to find that photo.
I've actually, if you want a picture of Ramesh mine, I've got two or three, so just get in touch.
Oh, by the way, thank you very much for putting out the photos of King Gary from the last day of filming. Everybody looks fucking freshly dipped, and I look an absolute fucking piece of shit.
You look cute. You look so cute. You look adorable, boy.
Mm.
You look okay. Really, really cute. Hey, look, let me just tell you, right? Even sometimes when, a teddy bear looks sad, it's still a teddy bear and you want to give it a cuddle, okay?
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Talking to me like one of the fucking raggy dolls. All right, guys. Take care. Love ya.
Peace and love from the heavens above.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.